Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Now, here's Craig.
Created to crave God. I was playing golf with a pastor and a missionary when the starter asked if a single player could join us to make a foursome. We happily agreed. About four or five holes into our game, our guest asked what we did. My pastor friend started out, "I'm a pastor and this guy is a missionary," and our guest interrupted and blurted out, "You guys are Christians? I've never had so much fun. I've always heard Christians were boring." When did it come about that people thought of Christians as boring, or even worse, as sourpusses and killjoys? Sadly, too many Christians have helped cement this idea in people's minds. I think this is largely because those Christians are misinformed and frustrated. This frustration, I believe, comes from the mistaken idea that Christians are supposed to squelch any urges or cravings that we have. But check out this Q&A from the Westminster Catechism. Question: what is the chief end of man? Answer: to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Glorifying God is supposed to result in enjoyment, enjoying both God's presence and the life He has given us. We are created to crave the fuel of His Spirit that satisfies and energizes us. Just as your car would at best underperform if you attempted to run it with anything else but gasoline, so our lives will underperform and feel like drudgery if we are trying to fuel our cravings with anything other than God. The dictionary defines craving as a great or eager desire, or a yearning. But I believe the Bible defines God-honoring craving as the longing for an intimate relationship with God that is implanted by God Himself. The people of Judah had gone astray from God and were trying to satisfy their urges with foreign gods and pagan idolatry. When King Asa called these backsliders back to God, here's how he did it. Asa commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, to inquire of and for Him and crave Him as a vital necessity, and to obey the law and the commandment. 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 4, out of the Amplified Bible. Contrast this with the temporary cravings of earth. But those who crave to be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish, useless, godless, and hurtful desires. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9. This world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. Nowhere are godly cravings and earthly cravings better contrasted than in James chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. In this passage, the Greek word for desires in verse 1 and pleasures in verse 3 is hedone. This is where we get our English word hedonism. There is nothing wrong with pleasure, for God Himself takes pleasure. But it's what pleasure we are craving that can make them ungodly. James rightly points out that the wrong hedonism is a craving to fulfill your desires, your pleasures, and to desire friendship with the world, verses 1, 3, and 4. Jesus talked about worldly cravings, using the same word hedone, when he said, "The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, hedone, and they do not mature." Luke chapter 8, verse 14. Notice the same thing in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 2, where God declares that people seem eager to delight in God, but it's only a show for them to satisfy fleshly cravings. John Piper noted, "God means that they are delighting in their business and not in the beauty of their God. He does not rebuke their hedonism. He rebukes the weakness of it. They have settled for secular interests and thus honor them above the Lord." Instead, notice the fulfilled cravings when we seek God. "If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." Isaiah chapter 58, verses 13 and 14. I like that reminder that the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The origin of the word craving is the old Norse word krefcha, which means to lay claim on something because of a promise. God has promised, and so we can claim it. James assures us that the Spirit God implanted in us envies intensely, James chapter 4, verse 5. We were made to crave God's presence. We were made to find ultimate satisfaction in His presence. We were made to find eternal delight in knowing Him more intimately. The proud person says, God, I know what I want. Give it to me. The humble person says, God, I know Your presence is the only thing that will satisfy me. Give it to me. The craving in our spirit can be redirected from earthly yearnings to God-honoring yearnings by yielding to the Holy Spirit. I would humbly suggest that our prayer should be something like this. Father, grant that my cravings are for Your name to be hallowed, Your kingdom to be made visible, and Your will to be done. Let the enjoyment I have in Your presence shine out of me in a way that invites others to be dissatisfied with their earthly cravings and find their ultimate satisfaction in a personal relationship with You through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, continue to refine and redirect all of my cravings away from earthly things to eternal pleasures. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would like to follow along with all of the messages in this series called Craving, I've shared a link in the show notes.
To get in touch with Craig, to read more posts, or to access the huge library of resources Craig has compiled, please check out craigtowens.com.